Okay, so today is February 1st, 2017, and we're sitting here with Ed May. I'm Monica Frondick, and we're here with Dennis Amesbury. So, Dennis, what is your full name?
Dennis L. Amesbury.
Dennis L. Amesbury. And how many years have you lived in Boyne City?
I moved here in 1960.
Okay. And how many years have you been a firefighter here?
I started on the department in November 1983.
Okay.
Or excuse me, I started for the city in November 1983. I started on the fire department in 1981. October of 81.
Got it. And did you spend the whole time firefighting here in Boyne City?
Yes, I started on the fire department. I was working at North in the back going Butch Herbert at the time was the fire chief up there, and he kept trying to get me to join earlier than what I did. But then I was a young kid, and I wanted to play softball and other stuff, so I didn't get on right away.
Mm-hmm.
Finally talked him into it, and I came down and tried it out, and it was something else, and been there ever since.
Got it. So what different roles and positions have you held at the Boyne City Fire Department?
Well, I started out, of course, like everybody does, you start out as a probie, a new guy, and then you work your way up to go to school to get your firefighter 1 and 2 certificates. And then you have to be a firefighter for so long before you can move up into officer status or, just a captain, lieutenant. Then you have the assistant and chief. So you have to be on, I can't remember if it's 5 or 7 years to be a chief. But I worked my way up through, and I've worked as a lieutenant and a captain and assistant chief. And I got the chief's position, and I've been that now for the last 13, 14 years.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So what made you interested in becoming a firefighter?
Like I say, I wasn't at first until Butch came and talked to me. And he came up and talked to me and my wife and told us a little bit about it. And just being to be able to help the people in the community, because you do more than just fighting fire. I mean, you help out things with the schools and the city and organizations in the community and stuff that's going on that you praise and everything else like that. You're always helping out with stuff and also in your firefighting today, you're not just fighting fire. You got accidents where you have your JAWS and extrication. I mean hazmat, cats stuck in a tree. I mean when you do lost people,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So you're not just doing firefighting today. You're doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And it seems like when everything goes wrong, they always call the fire department.
Yeah. Who do we call?
Yeah.
Let's call the fire department. So do you recall the names of any early Boyne City firefighters who may no longer be with us?
Oh, yeah. There's, let me think here. You got Charlie Yerman.
Jake
Janak. Dan Moore. And his brother Don Moore. I'm trying to think. Dick Gerber. There's quite a few more I'm trying to think of right now. We keep a retiree list and an up to date list of the guys and retirees that we keep up to date, our honoraries and stuff. And
how far does that list go back?
Dick and Butch Herbert and all them were on it, Jake. So it probably goes back into the 60s. I think the fire department was originally, Butch Herbert could tell you this, I think, or Oral did too, when they first founded the fire department. I think it was in, 60? Or in 59 or 60 or something, when they first originated it as a volunteer fire department, yeah. So
be the right time period.
Yeah. So
would you be willing to share that with us?
What
the list of retirees?
Yeah, I have that. It's public knowledge. It's in my budget. I put it in my budget every year and stuff. But I can bring you a list of that.
Cool, because that might be kind of cool for them to have,
Yeah, what we have in there is we've got all the retirees when they retired. If they're deceased, they've got a little asterisk next to their name. We've got a deceased and honoraries. Then it's got a list of all of the active members and stuff right now and stuff. We try to keep the list updated all the time.
Hmm.
We do it every year. So
got it.
It'd be nice to get reposted.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Now, there's some that we don't know about, you know, that's not on the list that might have been firemen when they started out before the organization started.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's people that we know or when they started, we're happy to put them on the list if somebody knows of somebody that should have been on there because, you know, I'm only been on here for 35 years, so I don't know what's going on back, you know, 50 years. If there was people on there, I'm not sure. So we're trying to keep track of what we know of, and so try.
We can put that on there. That if people have more information, they can get a hold of us, and we can pass that on to you.
When we do get a call once in a while on some people, and my father or grandfather or somebody was a firefighter back there with the department or something.
Do you guys keep a history of the department?
We. Not really. We just we don't probably take as much pictures and video as we do because it's public information, you know. And sometimes you don't like to get that stuff out there. You get in trouble sometimes,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Because I know a couple departments that got fined from that, you know, because guys didn't have the right gear on or didn't do this or do that, and then see it on the news, and next thing you know, OSHA's knocking on your door. So,
do you guys have an obligation to respect people's privacy too, or?
As far as
like if you were filming something, like would you?
Oh yeah, we, you know, we still have to give the freedom of the press, but we have to keep them back until it's clear for them to come in, or you know, stuff like that. But you know, at least they still can come in and get information from us that it might not be right at the time of the moment, you know.
Got it. So
when you say the different degrees and steps going through, roughly how many hours of training?
See, when I first started out, the firefighter was A and B. And A was 66 hours. And that would give you your certification for firefighting that you could actually do your firefighting. Well, then they added B on, which you had to have A to be actual in the hot zone. You could be on the department, but you had to stay out in the outside areas in your trainee. Well, after that, then they made B, which is a little more extensive, was another 66 hours. Well, then down the road, they incorporated A and B together and made Firefighter 1, which is 132 hours. That was, then you had to have that to get your certification. Well, now they've got Firefighter 1 and 2, and Charlevoix has a, we have a fire academy through Charlevoix, which is for the Charlevoix County. And we sort of run a fire academy through that we put the guys through. And they just want to do a 1 and 2. And the time that you get all your hazmat, your extrication, your driver's training, everything, to get the total of everything, it's running about 450 hours right now.
Oh, wow.
And that's just for your firefighter 1 and 2 certification.
Wow.
Then if you want to go on further for officer's training, you have your pre-incident stuff that you have to take. You have to take a strategies and tactics class. You have to take an admit class. You have to take, there's four different classes you have to take right there. And those run anywhere from 32 to 60 hours of training on those before you can even go in to take your officers 1, 2, and 3 classes.
Wow.
And now, well, since 911, they threw on NIMS now, which is the National Incident Command System through the whole government. If some incident comes in, and you'll be working with the state police, the National Guard, and everybody else, which they give you that, but nobody understands it and remembers what's going on with it anyway.
So yeah.
But you still have to take that. You got 1, 2, 3, 400, 700, 800. You got to have all that stuff, which there's, most of them are short classes except for your 300 and 400s. So, and then you get your arson classes, and you got your water rescue classes. And I mean, we could be doing classes all the time, and being volunteer, you sort of try to pick and choose. Like this time of the year, we're doing a lot of the pre-planning of buildings, which we do in the winter anyways. But now that this happened, now we threw it out to the people. We're getting more people interested, so we're spending more time on it this winter. And then in the summers, of course, we go out and work with the equipment, the trucks, the pumps, and the, everything like that. So, but right now, according to the state, you have to have, each firefighter is supposed to have like 26 to 32 hours of fire training a year.
Right.
That's, you know, we do meetings the first and third Tuesday of the month for 3 hours a night, 2 hours training, 1 hour meeting.
Wow.
And then if we have anything else going on, like our tanker drills or a house burn or water rescue or something, then we'll do them on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon or something, you know, where we're there for 4 to 5 hours.
Okay, now this is, you're looking at roughly 800 hours plus the hours that you put in every month plus 40 hours a week job if you're working. In other words, you're volunteering to be a firefighter is not an easy job anymore.
And that's the problem right now with recruitment and retention. We are not getting new firemen because of these restrictions. Because young firemen, like, you know, your husband, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a young couple. It's got young kids at home.
Right.
I mean, like Ed hit it right on the button. You know, you're going to school 2 nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 10, then every other Saturday all day. Well, that's not including what you're doing with your own department. We've got fire meetings every Tuesday, first and third Tuesdays of the month, plus any fire runs that we have or any other obligations that we had. Just because you get on the fire department, we do a lot of fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
We do the Country Western Show. We took over the Antique Car Show and Club. We do chicken barbecues. We do the 4th of July parade.
The drag races, is that you guys?
We it's not ours, but we have to stand by up there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff that we have to do that we don't get paid for, but we probably bring in $10,000 a year on fundraisers.
Wow.
We probably bring in more money than most of the other departments around in our fundraisers that we do. But that helps us too. We bought our own grass fire truck and equipped it. The city brought us our equipment vehicle. They bought us the chassis, and we put the pump and the back box on it with all of the compartments and that kind of stuff. And we bought a lot of our own hoses and our first thermal imaging camera the women's auxiliary bought for us. So we buy a lot of our own stuff too that can help the department out when we can't, you know, when our budget doesn't allow to do that with the city.
Mm-hmm.
Which the city's been real good with us right now. And we're, like I say, we got the aerial truck was new, and we just got a new truck last year. We're in line for a new tanker coming up probably this next year with the new building, of course. And when you get the new building, we need some stuff that we couldn't put in our old building. You know, we should have a washer for our gear, which is big, heavy-duty washers. Because according to the OSHA, you're supposed to keep that stuff clean because of the carcinogens that get on it, and then you put it in your mouth and stuff, cancer. We have none of that stuff to clean our gear with and mm-hmm. to dry our gear with. Or we could have had a boat or a four-wheeler here, but in the old barn, we have no place to put it, you know, stuff
right.
like that. We've come a long way, and we've got good equipment, and we've got a very good department.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like from what I've read and from talking to some of the firemen, every time the government comes up with a new standard or a new requirement, like the EPA, we have a traffic accident out here, we've got a gasoline leak. Well, that means the fire department rules. And every time you have something that could be considered a contaminant, the fire department rules.
And they keep making new laws all the time. See, we used to have our fire gear on, and it's got the striping on it. Well, now if you're in the roadway, you have to have the yellow striped vests on. You got to have signs, and you got to, you know, they make it harder and harder for volunteers. I mean, we too keep the stuff in the truck. When you're in a hurry, you're trying to get out there and get to an accident scene or a patient or something like that, or get your road blocked off, and sometimes you're jumping out of the truck and you didn't have time to grab your vest or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying a lot of times you got to watch what you're putting out there on Facebook or something, because
mm-hmm.
some of that stuff gets out to the wrong people. It's not that you're not doing your job
right,
but there's laws out there in place, and if they wanted to be a son of a gun, you know, they can make it miserable for you.
And the new video cameras being required by everybody.
Well, that's it. Everybody's got one on their phone.
And,
right.
I mean, I've seen fires, you know, we've had before. We're still fighting the fires, and pictures and stuff's coming across on people's Facebooks already. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the plan? So if you're having trouble recruiting new firefighters, is there some sort of plan in place? Like, what would you do if you...
We got a grant 3 years ago, which ended this last year, for recruitment and retention officers, and they went around in all the areas. And the problem was they only ended up picking up a couple guys because yeah. right now it's tough. And knock on wood, Boyne City, we're not hurting because I have a limit for a 24-man roster. I could carry a 25th, but we keep a floating position open if we wanted to increase it. And I am at 24 people.
Oh, nice.
But Boyne Falls, East Jordan, Melrose, and these guys are all down. Charlevoix City's down. The township's up over there. But a lot of the areas around here are down with people. And, well, Boyne Falls and Melrose have got dual people on both departments because we work over there. And Hudson does, too, sometimes. So right now, you know, we're backing up Boyne Falls and Melrose. They got bad fires coming. You don't keep your... Because they are shorthanded in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think right now Boyne Falls has only got, I think, 12 or 13. I think
wow.
East Jordan is down to like 14 or 15 people.
I understand that when the ambulances go out, like if I would take one ambulance from Boyne City and I'm sending it to Detroit for some reason, that an East Jordan ambulance might come part way to back up to cover area.
Yes.
Does the fire department have that too?
If, like the other day, Charlevoix had another fire out in the township where they didn't call us, but they called Charlevoix City for assistance. So that depleted their whole area. So they had East Jordan come by and stand by in their hall in case they had a run,
okay.
Which we will do that. If we're out for something and we leave our town, you know, with no equipment or unprotected, then we'll have Boyne Falls or East Jordan. Can you send a truck and two guys to stand by at our station until we get back in case we have another run? At least we've got something to respond right away till we can get another truck broke loose to come and help them.
Yeah.
Because our first obligation is Boyne City.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then you are covering as needed for other areas as well as Boyne.
We have... We also have four townships that we cover, that we are paid to cover for us. We do Evangeline, Eveline, Wilson, and Bay.
I know, I'm glad you're in Wilson. I live in Wilson.
Yeah, so Bay Township. So we do those four. And then we all, of course, all the departments in this county have a mutual aid pact, which is if... It's like when we went to Charlevoix.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to East Jordan, if something happens, you've got an incident going where you can't handle it yourself, you will call East mm-hmm. Jordan or Boyne Falls or whoever to come over and assist you. And that's what the mutual aid pack is, that you can recoup resources from the county and they take care of it themselves. When I go to Charlevoix, I'm still taking care of my men and my resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 'cause we're paid on call.
Right, okay.
So they're not paying for their wages, but we are.
Got it.
But if they come over here, they're paying their guys for their wages, mm-hmm. you know, and so forth. You know, it's sort of a, you know, works, you know, around, you know, hopefully we'll take care of you take care of us, and so forth, you know.
Right. What are the requirements to become a volunteer firefighter? Like, do you have to live within the city limits, or?
Well, you need to live in our district, area okay. fire district. I mean, the new laws that you don't have to, but I mean, it don't make a lot of sense to live in Boyne City, or I mean, be a fireman in Boyne City if you live on the other side of Petoskey. That's not
right.
me. And the problem is with that is that each area has their own department. So if you're going to do that, you might as well go to the department you're closest to.
Right.
So, but right now I do have a guy from Charlevoix that transferred to our department, and but he works as a transit mechanic here.
Oh, okay.
And he's looking to move here to Boyne City.
Got it.
So he spends most of his time here at and right now, even for us, daytime firemen are hard because everybody's working out, and a lot of the guys work outside the area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had the call yesterday at the over in Walloon at the restaurant there. So we ended up
calling.
He ended up calling us for the aerial to take her to pump her because it sounded like the whole building was on fire. So we get down here. I got six guys right there is all I got right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's enough to get the three trucks out and get them going, but it's not enough if you really want to go out and fight fire, you know, because it's going to take four guys just to run the equipment. You know, that's not putting many guys out on doing the work. But anyways, after we got there, which is good about our department, if something's coming in, they'll start working their way in from wherever they're coming from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ryan called me twice from the job in Charlevoix, but I told him we didn't need him, you know. But and that's not only our problem, that's all the places around here, because not that many people all work, especially the smaller Boyne Falls and Melrose. None of them people hardly live in town when they're working, you know.
Right.
So it makes it tough during the day. Usually weekends and evenings, most of the guys are around, and it's you usually get a better turnout right off the bat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, recruitment is a tough thing for the departments, is getting these young guys to get involved, and a lot of them don't want to get involved. Some do, but not everybody pans out either. You know, we've sent a couple to school, which costs us money. The time you gear a guy up, you know, you're looking at a couple $1,000 just to gear a guy up.
And you pay for their schooling?
And their schooling. We do get funds from the Michigan Firefighter Training Council to our county, which goes towards training, but usually it still costs us like $600 per student,
mm-hmm.
plus whatever gear you have to gear him up on, and then we do pay him to go to school.
Wow.
We used to do it for free, but now we pay him because you can't get anybody to do nothing for free anymore, you know.
With all the different types of apparatus that you have, in other words, if I was to run your pumper, I have to be trained in the pumper.
Right.
Now, do you have the time and the ability to cross-train so you've got three or four people that can run that pumper in case I'm out?
That's the thing on a volunteer department. Everybody has to know how to do everything.
Mm. That's good.
I mean, it's not like a full-time department where you're an engineer and that's all he does is drive a truck. Mm. Well, here you might be packed up one day, you might be running the truck the next day, or you might be up in the aerial the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're going to do depending on what people show up. We do have guys that I like as my inside guys that are my better team. I do have my guys that are better pump operators, and hopefully they're there. But if they're not, you know, we do go through and run... And in the summer, we'll go through and I'll make up some test papers where everybody's got to go through and do this on each of the pump checks. And we'll have the guys go through there and check it off and make sure that they were up to snuff on it. If they're not, then we make them go through and do it over again and stuff. But another problem is, too, is your new trucks now are all coming out computerized. Not like the old ones. So now you got a new system that this truck might be run this way and this truck might be run this way, you know. So if guys aren't used to running a truck and they get in there after a while, oh, geez, you know, how do you get the water coming out of this, you know, or something. And the problem is, at the time of a fire, you got so many things running through your mind that you forget things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the first time I went out on a truck by myself. You're running all that stuff through your mind and everything, and you're so afraid you're going to make a mistake that you do.
Yeah. Or you can see why it would be easy to forget to put on your yellow vest to stand in the street when you've got all these other things. Yeah.
And we're getting better at that. You know, the more you do it, the more you get better at it. But, you know, it's a lot going on out there today for the volunteer firemen, and it's getting harder and harder to get the guys into that. I mean, you look at our department right now, probably half of my department and better is close to 50 years old and up.
You mentioned your son, Ryan. How many second-generation firefighters do you have?
Denny Luce's boy, Brandon's on there, Ryan. Gary Cole and Dustin were on there for a while. But that's the only ones that we've got that are siblings on there. We got Tim and Dave Moyer, which are mm-hmm. brothers themselves,
mm-hmm.
that are on there. But firefighting is something you have to get in your blood. It's not not everybody is made to be a fireman, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you get some guys on, hey, grab that hose and get in there. I'm not going in there. There's fire in there. Well, that's your job.
Yeah.
Or get up that ladder. I'm scared of heights. Well, how'd you pass the school?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. I mean, you know, you got to do some things that sometimes you don't want to do, mm-hmm. but you're trained to do that. I mean, we're not going to send anybody into a fully involved fire. They're not coming out. But, you know, if that place is on smoke and it's burning that corner, you got to get in there and put it out before it spreads.
Right.
That's what you're trained to do.
Yeah.
And we, our guys are good at doing that.
Do you have very many ladies?
We don't. We had one put on two years ago. She was on, and we were getting ready to send her to school, and she ended up not showing up again. We didn't see her for a while, and apparently she ended up with a boyfriend, and they moved to Pelston. I see she's back in the area again, but she was the first lady that we put on. But the biggest problem with us with the lady right now in our old facilities, mm-hmm. we didn't have anything set up for ladies there.
Right.
We had one bathroom that shared by police, fire, DPW, and ambulance, you know, mm-hmm. no shower facilities. It was, and, you know, it's, I mean, there's a lot of ladies in the fire service right now, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, you've still got to carry your load.
Right.
I mean, if you're packing up and you're going in that building and you're the backup guy and he goes down, it's your responsibility to get him out.
Right.
And you better be able to do it.
Yeah. So do you have a physical test that they have to pass?
They have to have physicals every year and stuff, mm-hmm. and we try to do a physical fitness thing. And in the new building, we will have a physical a room for training in there with weights and treadmills and stuff like that, so we can try to keep in a little better shape than what we are.
Nice.
Which will be shared by fire and ambulance also.
Okay.
So that's good.
Cool.
What would be, for the years you've been chief, what is the most important or remarkable advance that you've seen your department go through?
Probably, the equipment today is so much better than it was when we first started. When I first started out there, they had the old packs, so called the silver dollar pack, that, you know, it dinged when it was out, and you didn't, it had a bell on it when it, but now today your packs are so more advanced. They tell you and read out on there what's going on and how much air you've got, how much time you got to get out. And your equipment today is so much smoother and lighter, easier to handle. They're coming out with better stuff all the time. Your gear, now you've got gear that you can go up to a lot higher temperatures. Not that you want them in there, you know. Mm-hmm. But and with vapor barriers in for better protection, the lighter weight. Just the way everything's advancing has been great. And the biggest thing is a lot of the schooling has put a tax on us guys, because we are volunteers. You know, we all have other jobs and stuff, so it does make it tough, mm-hmm. Especially for being into the officer position and stuff today, because now they it's so much more responsibility and stuff falling back on you today, with, you know, where it wasn't quite as bad before, mm-hmm. but they expect more from you, and you have to deal with your townships and your commission and your budgets. And of course, you know, we found that one fireman that was stealing gas from us one time.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, and we found that by mistake, and which, you know, he shouldn't have been. And the bad thing was, he was a good firefighter.
Yeah.
He just, and things like that happen. And we, and, you know, you have good firemen, you have bad firemen. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying anybody's bad, but there's better ones, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you go to the scene, you look around, I want you, you, and you. You stay over there, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Know your team and how to use your players.
And that's why I say we've got a good inside group. Nothing that's Andy on. Hello.
We can cut that all out. I'll just, it's easier to cut it out. You think?
Yeah, as soon as I get out of my meeting here at the library. So anyways, yeah, it's, today it's just, it's hard to get good guys. And we've had a lot of good guys come down, and we tell them what's going on with what they we expect from them, and they just said, well, I can't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My job, it's like when Ryan and Joe went to school, I told the guys there, I said, Ryan just started at the cement plant, and Joe just started at Ironworks, and they both got to go on the nights at such and such a time, and then every spring at the cement plant, they go on shutdown for a month. Mm-hmm. When you do, everybody works it. So I told them this was coming up. Well, okay, we can work around it. Well, when that time came, they couldn't make the classes. Next thing I know, I'm getting a letter. They're kicked out of school, you know.
Oh.
So then we had to go through and redo the whole thing and send them down. Luckily, they had enough time where they could go challenge the course and went to Massillon, and they passed. But instead of getting their firefighter one and two, they could only get their one.
Mm.
So then they had to go back and get the two again. And stuff like that that happens, it makes it tough to get some of your stuff done. And because a lot of classes are on weekends and nights, and guys that are working and have families just can't do it all. You know?
Yeah.
Well, not to put down you as a firefighter, but I think there should be also a lot of credit given to your families.
Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, we... Yeah, you couldn't do it without your families. And we have a young guy that's just dead, Adam Harwell. You know him?
Mm-mm.
He, his wife works at the credit union. Anyways, I've had a talk with her, and I says, how's Adam doing going to school? He's got 2-3 young kids. You know, hell, it's been a little tough, but he helped put me through school, so we're working it out, you know. But, you know, it's, and sometimes it doesn't work out, you know, because there's times where you're getting up in the middle of the night at the middle of a birthday party and, you know, some function that you need to be at. And when that fire whistle goes off, you don't show up, then who's going to be there?
Right.
So you make a big commitment and your family has to go along with it.
Yep.
So every year we have an annual dinner where we take our wives out every year for our dinner. And
oh, that's nice.
And we take them to a nice dinner out to Somerset or Boyne Mountain or somewhere. We put on the, and we take all the retirees and their wives too and pay for it all. So
that's really nice.
And that's part of our fundraiser money goes toward that stuff. So
that's good.
Yep.
We try to do something for the kids every year, a picnic of some sort if we have time. Sometimes we don't get it in, but we try to.
Yeah. So can you tell us about one of your most memorable experiences as a Boyne City Fireman?
Memorable? Well, probably when I first got on, when the co-op burned.
Oh.
Me and Mike Kessler were two young firefighters on here. And when the co-op burnt, this yellow house right over here started on fire first. So we pull up there and started to fight that fire in the middle of the winter. And all of a sudden, the guys are looking back and, hey, the co-op's on fire. What the heck? So we had to pick all our hoses up, get it going, and run down to the co-op. That's when the old co-op was there. And that was on fire and burning real bad. And that's when the Seaman boy and that started on fire, arson.
Wow.
And so we're in there and it, trying to put it out. It was burning underneath the timbers on the basement floor and stuff. So we thought we couldn't get it out. So we thought we'd cut a hole in the floor and take our big fan that blows foam out and we'd fill the basement up with foam to try to put the fire out. So me and Mike Kessler are in there, got the hole cut. We're setting the fan in here to put it in. The basement floor goes down. The two of us go down into the basement, into the water, over our heads. And she's burning up there. And first thing you thought is, I'm not coming out of here. And we look up there, about here to the wall up there. And finally, I popped up, and Mike popped up. And I see the guys up there, and we, get us the hell out of here right now.
Yeah.
And they did. We ended up going to the hospital because there was arsenic in the basement and stuff.
So. Oh, my gosh.
From years ago, you know.
Right,
and,
yeah.
But they sent us up there and had us all checked out. And that Tom Garlock also had a slight heart attack at that fire also. So three of us went to the hospital at that fire.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty memorable. Almost dying, that's pretty,
when,
you know.
When I first got on, I was going to school in East Jordan when I first got on. And we fought 3 bad fires in East Jordan that year. The Racquetball Restaurant, the Healy Hardware, and I can remember in the Racquetball Restaurant burnt, the racquetball court in the middle of the town there.
Mm-hmm.
We were up on top of the building spraying water down. It was pretty, you know, it was between two buildings. And me and Woody Hardy were up on top with a 2.5-inch hose spraying down into the fire. Well, something happened. I don't know what happened. Anyways, it boosted the pressure up from like 100 pounds to like 300 pounds. And tried to hold on to a 2.5 to 300 pound pressure on. I got mine shut down because I could feel it coming, but I couldn't see Woody. The smoke was so thick, and I thought, because when I put mine down, that gives him more pressure to his. And I look over and I couldn't see Woody, and I figured, oh, that hose took him over the side of the building.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, I was getting sprayed, and I looked over there. Here's Woody on that hose trying to hold it down, going up and down, spraying me. So I ran over there and jumped on the hose with him. We finally got it shut down, and we went off the building and didn't go back up there.
You may have not seen it, ever seen it, Monica, but a 3.5-inch hose, if you have a long sweeping bend in it or a sharp bend, if you suddenly get a surge of pressure or somebody shuts the nozzle off unexpectedly, that hose will straighten out. Mm-hmm. And if you're on it, you're going with it. It's the wrong end of the whiplash.
That's why the trucks today have what they call, if you got pressure relief valves on, mm-hmm. or if you got it set at 150 pounds or something, if it does get a water hammer, then it opens that valve and pushes the water out the bottom there instead of giving you the water hammer up the hoses now.
Wow. Crazy.
Oh, it's a science.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's all this stuff that you don't realize.
I can remember we were doing a practice burn up here when Nord was chief. Back when we used to do our practice burns, we would cover the windows up to try to keep make it smokier in there. So we're in there setting it on fire, and the three of them are in there with packs on, and it flashed over on the ceiling. And when it flashes over, it's like 2,000 degrees. Mm. And luckily, he jumped through the plywood window, and they got out, but it burnt the harnesses off his pack, melted his gloves on his hands.
Oh.
And they were just, if it had been an inexperienced fireman, they'd have probably died in there. So after that point, we never boarded windows up and stuff anymore and did that. But.
Wow. So what's been your most rewarding experience as a firefighter?
Just being a chief and being part of the guy that we work with down there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's been very rewarding. I mean, we got a real good bunch of guys. Working for the city. Wish we had a building sooner.
Yeah.
Well,
it's going to be a beautiful building.
So, and the thing is, I'm coming to the end of my career here, so I'm hoping to stay at least a couple more years, but I was hoping to be in it longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to, being the chief and being able to, I've specced out 3 new trucks now and getting the guys, I try to get them the equipment and stuff that they need and at our game dinner we had the other night. We have a wild game dinner we put on every year, and it's sort of an appreciation dinner for the people that help us out through the year that we can't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out years ago, so we just kept it going now, and it's more of a fun thing to do. But the city manager was there this year, and he asked if he could come up and speak at them before we said the prayer for dinner. And he says, I'm really proud of all our firemen and our city employees. He said, especially when I look in the news and all these fires out of town, and I see Boyne City Fire Department guys out there on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys they get in there, fight the fire, and a lot of these other departments, their guys, when we get there, sort of stand back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said when you can keep a full roster,
Yeah. Well, it's experience and training.
Yep.
And, our theory is we want to get there, knock the fire down, make sure it's down, so we're not coming back for rekindle. So we're pretty thorough about going through it and making sure that. And it's going to happen sometimes, rekindles, but it's no fun going back to rekindles and, where it's restarted after you thought it was out.
But, right.
We have done that before, but we try to be thorough in getting it out. We use our thermal imaging cameras and we use our stuff. And the guys are pretty knowledgeable that we've got there. And it's an experience and it takes time to get that,
What would it roughly cost for you to take a fireman, equip him, and put him through school? Would be fireman 1 and 2 now? Roughly, what's it cost to get him from?
Right now it's been costing me about $600 per student for his books and everything to send him to school. Now to gear him up, a set of a bunker coat and pants is about $1,200.
Wow.
A helmet's about $250. And you have to have a Nomax hood, which is another $50. I just bought new gloves for the guys. Those run $85 a piece. A set of boots is $300. And your suspenders. And radio. You know, radio like this is $350 to $450. And some have pagers. You got to have tags for the guys. Now, what we have to be for accountability, so each guy has a tag. So what you're supposed to do if you go to a big incident, we have a board there. You hang your tag on where you're going, water point, inside or something. So when the fire's over, you grab your tag, and if the tag's still there, then you find out where the guy's at.
That's a good idea.
And if you don't get your tag, sometimes you get fined, you know, if you don't get your tag. But to do all that, you're probably looking at, then we'll pay him to go to school. So if he's got 450 hours in there at $10 an hour, he's going to make $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at probably, you know, the time you pay him and get all his equipment and his schooling, you're probably looking at $8,000.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Now, it's a lot of money, but it takes a lot of time, too.
Right.
See, when we first started out, we didn't get anything. We got $2 an hour, and then we got up to $8. Now we're at $9 an hour for training. I'm trying this year to move it to $10 an hour for training. And we get $20 per fire run.
Mm.
Well, $10 an hour for training is just a wee bit over McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, right now we're at $9.
Yeah, you know, but it's when people start to look and question, well, that's a lot of money.
Well, when the guys are sitting in class for Saturday and Sunday all day, and they're they need to get something for being there with their families and stuff.
So. Definitely, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you want to make it worse, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we don't get paid for everything. We get paid for $20 per meeting, and we get paid $20 per call. Well, we get $20 an hour per, but the majority of our fire runs are hour or less, unless you got a fully involved fire. The biggest problems that we've been having in the past is electrical lines down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'll end up sitting on an electrical line for anywhere from 2 to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Until they can get there to get the line taken care of, because it's hot yet.
Yep. It seems to me, too, that the fire department has a lot of community support that everyone here in Boyne City really appreciates.
Well, if it wouldn't have been for the fire department, that building would never got passed.
Yep.
We put a lot of time. We put flyers out. We went door to door. Because we wanted the department.
Right.
Because a lot of the guys knew if we didn't get it now, it'd probably be another 10 years before we got a department, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a lot of time and effort into getting this thing passed. And I know the city manager tagged us because he knew he wasn't going to get City Hall unless the fire department went through, too.
Right.
Well, I'm sure you've seen me go through that building for the last several years. And one of the big things that helped was when they invited the public down to see. You know, come on inside and see.
Well, that's it. The outside of the building didn't look that bad.
Right.
But our building right now, is they're not going to do anything more with it. Every time it rains, it leaks so bad. Up and down the stairs, my paperwork and everything, and the guys' gear. The walls are cracked. The floors are cracking. You've got one bathroom in there that's taking care of everybody. No shower that's working. According to state guidelines, we're supposed to have shower. In case you get out into a contaminated area, you can come back and clean up and not take the stuff home with you, see?
Right, yeah.
But I had to fight to get a toilet and a shower in the fire hall, because the new one, because they're putting two bathrooms down in the middle there, and they wanted us, no, I'm not going down here to share. And same with the kitchen. They didn't want to give us a kitchen. I says, hey, we're down here. We do a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
We cook every Tuesday night. We do barbecues. We do stuff. And they wanted to put a meeting room on to make a shared kitchen. I says, well, I don't know when I'm going to have a fire running. I come in here and you guys got the room rented out, so we can't come in and have a coffee or grab a sandwich or something. No, we need our own kitchen. So we finally ended up getting the kitchen. We had to do a lot of fighting for that.
Hmm.
Well, it's one of the fallacies of the system. A lot of people make decisions and they don't wear the shoes that the people are that the decisions affect.
I've been very fortunate. We've got pretty much everything we've asked for in our budget. We don't ask for a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as new trucks and stuff. But we have a sinking fund that we were putting $25,000 a year away. Now they increased it to $45,000. a year for a truck, so we can, because the thing with fire equipment, it has to meet specifications every year. If you got a pumper, it's got to meet those specifications, and it has to be tested every year. And if it doesn't, then it can't be a Class 1 pumper.
Mm-hmm.
So that can't be your frontline pumper. It'd have to drop down to a number 2 or something.
Wow.
So, and so there's a lot more stuff going on with our equipment and emergency service equipment than there are with the regular DPW equipment, you know.
Yeah. Are you excited about the LaFrance being part of the City Hall?
Oh, we've been looking for a place for that. You know, we've been having to find a place to store it every year, yep, in the wintertime, and we brought that up, and we didn't know it was going to go through. We were pretty tickled that it did.
Yeah,
it'd
be very prominently displayed. So.
And we also talked them into putting a fire pole in.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
And it won't be, you know, we won't be using it, but it'll be for the aesthetics. Uh-huh. Maybe let the kids slide down it.
Oh, that'll be great.
And some stuff like that, because we've got a mezzanine up above there, so we're going to put a fire pole in with a padded bottom and everything.
Let it probably shine the pole.
The pole costs $13,000.
Wow. Expensive pole.
Brass.
Nice. Cool. That'll be really cool. Yeah, but like you said, the kids, they'll love that when they come to visit City Hall.
Yep.
Slide down the power.
And we do. Every year we do fire prevention. We go up to the schools and all the nursery schools, and the kids come down, and we have open house. Of course, when we get the new building, it'll be a little bit nicer for an open house to have, mm-hmm, people in there, and we'll be able to walk through and not have to pull everything out and be able to show them stuff and maybe have some slides or something going on or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which we haven't taken a lot of movies and pictures of our fires. Like we said, we probably should do more of that with the guys. But when you're on the fire scene, you're thinking of fighting fire, you know.
Which is what we want you to be thinking about, not taking pictures. And yeah, definitely. And you do the spook house, which is always a huge hit.
Oh, yeah, spook house.
Everybody loves that.
Yeah, we probably run about 600 to 700 kids through that every year.
Mm-hmm.
That ends up costing us about $300 to $500 a year for that. We used to do the Christmas thing, and then the kids just weren't showing up. There was so much going on during the Christmas holidays. We'd go rent the school on a Saturday and get a magician to hand out some candy and do a little thing. But it got to, you only had 20, 25, 30 kids there, so we decided to do something different. We started out, the spook house has been in 4 different places now. We started out at the fire hall, did the one half where our newer part of the building is, where the aerial is. But you'd have to take the equipment out there, and you'd have to put it all up in one night,
because
you had to put the stuff back in. And then we ended up going up, went in here to the school for a while, where the mats were in the back where they did the wrestling. We did it for 3 years there. And then we did it down in the, where the weight room was, where the old Foschman building was.
Yeah.
That was a real good spot. We got to do that for 4 or 5 years there, but now we're over here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're thinking maybe when we get the new hall, we'll do it right at the fire hall.
Nice.
Pull one of the trucks out and just use one big base, 70 foot long.
Wow, yeah.
And then we got our break room and our stuff and everything right there. We don't have to haul everything back and forth.
Yep.
So.
Yep, very cool. And you have a really nice ladies auxiliary. We had, when we were talking to Oral, Eleanor came in, and she, you know, so that's nice that you have that support too.
Most of the departments have an auxiliary backup when you have bad fires, and it's nice because they'll bring us out water and Gatorade at the hot fires and coffee and sometimes donuts or candy bars, depending. And if we're there longer than that, then they'll bring sandwiches and pizza and stuff out for us. Because that is, you know, when you do have a fire, that is part of the rehab is part of the big thing in fire today.
Yeah.
When I got a guy packed up going in there, well, our theory is you go through 2 air bottles and you're out. You go see the ambulance, they check you out, you take a break, get a bottle of water and something to eat before you come back in again, you know. When we had that plane crash where the guy with the old Army plane crashed up there,
mm-hmm,
it was a hot day there, and we just had to stand by, and you had to wait and wait to get the okay to pull him out. So we did. So our guys are standing there with the hose. We're getting ready to cut him out. Got their full gear on. I had 2 guys get heat stroke from just
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't think, but.
Just stand there holding on the hose.
Right.
With their gear on. You know, because that gear is heavy and it's hot. But, you know, it's there to protect you, but.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think about it until all of a sudden Mike Sherrill said, he said, I'm feeling good. I look, man, you're awful red. I says, you don't really see the ambulance, you know. Next thing I know, I had another guy going in there, and pretty soon we all were.
Crazy. Well, is there anything? I think that about does it for us. So thank you very much for coming
in. I don't know if you got what you needed.
I think so. Yes. I think we got plenty.
Yes. It's